Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. And now let's join Rick and listen in for the final part of a message called Showing Respect.
Jesus is watching you. He's watching you to see how you treat the people he died for. Even the most despicable person and the most wrong lifestyle, Jesus still died for him. And God wants to see how you're going to be. Are you going to be gentle, not judgmental? Are you going to tell the truth tactfully? Now, the greatest lab for this, folks, is the family. It's in the marriage. That's where we're to learn the principles of respect. If you don't, it causes all kinds of problems in your life. And some of you have had some bad relationships with your parents or with your husband or your wife because of this. And I want to say to you, it's never too late to get started. I want you to listen to this story of CJ. Would you give him a warm welcome? Hey, buddy.
I would like to tell you about how God gave me a second chance on learning to love and respect my wife after years of a relationship that had become almost non-existent. It happened after I committed my life to Christ the second time, and let me give you just a little background about that. I grew up in an area of the country that was enduringly referred to as the Dust Bowl. My family was influenced by a very strict German father. We didn't express our feelings or our emotions. For sure, we never talked about those two words, love and God. They were never discussed. This dysfunctional background set the stage for my hiding from emotions. I left home at age 18 and moved to the West Coast. I was drafted into the service during the Korean conflict, and there I met and married my wife, Linda, and our children were soon born after that time. I was ill-equipped for marriage and certainly as a father. I always put other priorities ahead of my wife and my family. I started to numb my feelings with alcohol, and was very non-communicative about family issues. And guess what? I had learned that issue extremely well. We joined a church, served as choir members, Sunday school teachers, and deacons. But I never allowed God to be a weekday part of my life. I grew up in a very legalistic church, and I was always trying to please an unloving God with my performance. I was baptized twice. I thought that maybe the second one might take. My drinking became part of going out to dinner with friends, at parties, working in the yard, social functions, at work, weekends, you name it, didn't make any difference. Drinking became the priority in my life. I soon began to disrespect, first of all, myself. Then, of course, Linda, and then my family. And soon I found myself not respecting our marriage vows. My values and morals broke down, my heart became hardened, and I completely turned away from the God that I grew up fearing. I was a full-blown alcoholic with all the denial to go with it. When I spoke, I certainly wasn't tactful or truthful. I was a very good practicing liar. As time passed, I even began to believe my own lies. In later years, my relationship with Linda became almost non-existent. We lived in a very heavy, murky silence for days at a time. She never smiled, and I always felt guilty when I was around her. Our only communication was filled with anger and resentments. We certainly didn't show any respect for each other, and as I look back now, I certainly didn't deserve any from Linda. Then the first life-changing event took place. God blessed us by sending our grandson to live with us. He began attending a large church called Saddleback. Linda and I began to attend with him, so he wouldn't think that we were, you know, non-churchgoers and think less of us for that. And while we were here, guess what? Pastor Rick started speaking those messages, and they were hitting me right here. Then the second life-changing event took place. Our daughter came to visit us, and I was confronted by her and our youngest son about my addiction to alcohol. I finally agreed to check out Celebrate Recovery here at our church on Friday nights. That was 14 months ago, and with God's help, I've not had a drink since that time. That's really all I expected from recovery. I felt that at my age, I couldn't change my behavior and mend all my damaged relationships too. But God has given me so much more than I ever thought possible. First, I finally found the most important relationship in my life, a personal relationship with my loving, heavy on loving, forgiving, heavy on forgiving Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves me in spite of all those things that I had done. Next, as my relationship has grown with God, I realized how very disrespectful I had been to my wife, Linda. I saw that I was not only not tactful when I spoke to her, but very untruthful as well. As the months of my recovery passed, Linda began to see the changes that God was making in me, and he softened her heart, and he allowed her to reach out her hand to me. To me, such an amazing thing. After all the years of those pains and those lies and those disrespect that I had caused her, this opened the doors of forgiveness, and today we are in the process of redeveloping our relationship built on respect for one another. For the first time in our 45 years of marriage, I have been able to understand what intimacy really was. And little by little, it is becoming a part of our life. Such an amazing thing. Linda and I met with Pastor John to begin our restoration process. Linda now attends Celebrate Recovery with me on Friday nights, and we never miss a Wednesday night with Pastor Tom or a weekend service with Pastor Rick. Resentments still come up when Linda sees me slipping back into an old pattern. We still have a lot of work and healing ahead of us, but we are working together, building a new loving relationship centered on Christ, one day at a time. Today, with God's help and lots of it for me daily, I try to communicate with Linda by first listening to her. Such an amazing thing. I never did that. Then I try to respond with kind words and speaking the truth with love. In conclusion, I guess what I'm trying to say is that if your relationship with God is messed up, so will all of your other relationships. But if you give Jesus Christ the respect he deserves in your life, then he will give you, with his love and help, restore the relationship that you thought were beyond repair. Thank you for letting me share.
Now, CJ got a wake-up call 45 years into his marriage, and that wake-up call said that respect and intimacy go together. I hope that some of you husbands and some of you fathers get that wake-up call today, not so much later. Don't waste a relationship. Let me give you two more ways to show respect. Number four, when you share your faith with people, respect, don't reject them. Respect them, don't reject them. When you share your faith, 1 Peter tells us, if anybody asks you why you believe as you do, be ready to tell him and do it in a gentle and respectful way. You don't argue people into heaven. You don't blow them away by saying, turn or burn, you're going to die and fry while we go to the sky, you know? You don't argue. James 1:20 says, the anger, a man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. In other words, God says, I want you to shine your life, not be a blowtorch. Okay? He says, when you share your faith, do it with gentleness and respect. Be tactful with those who are unbelievers. And number five, when people are rude to you, respond politely. Respond politely. In other words, don't retaliate by being rude back. That only adds fuel to the fire. It just makes things worse. The Bible says, don't repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. I saw a great example of that when I read this card sent to me by one of the parents in our church about their 8-year-old son. I said, Dear Rick, our 8-year-old son, Doug, had a player from the Little League team he played against come up and tell Doug after a game that, quote, Doug's team sucked. Our 8-year-old Doug looked at him straight in the eye and said, You pitched a great game. The little boy was speechless. I bet he walked away feeling pretty bad too. Doug had loved and overcome, and we told him that Jesus must have been smiling. He was. And anytime you treat God's creature, another person, with respect and dignity, no matter how despicable and vile they are, God's going, you did it right. You did it right. Now, where does that kind of respect come from? By watching TV? No. It starts in the home. It starts in the family. That's why the fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. Notice, it says, honor your father and mother so that you may live a long, good life. He's saying that respect for authority begins in the family. One of the most critical lessons that a child learns is how to relate to authority. Because if a child doesn't learn how to relate to authority and show respect, he'll never be successful in his career, never will be successful in school, never be successful in relationships or marriage. Because you can't get along in this world if you don't know how to cooperate and treat people with dignity. Because whatever you give out, you're going to get back. So the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Now notice it says, honor both, father and mother. You know, the problem today is because divorce is so prevalent, kids are having to choose. Am I going to honor mom or dad? And that's sad, because God says he wants us to honor both. Now understand the principle. He doesn't say, honor your parents' parenting skills. It says nothing about whether they were good or bad parents. Whether they were effective or ineffective, whether they were helpful or harmful. He's saying here, honor the position. What that means is if your parents hadn't got together, you wouldn't exist. They are the source of your life. So you honor them for their position, regardless of whether they were good or bad or making any kind of value judgment on their parenting. It's if in the military you see a man with a number of stars on his shoulder, you honor that position regardless of the character of the person who's wearing it. So that's what he's saying there. He's saying the fact that when God wanted to make you, when God thought up you, he wanted to make you unique. And he knew it would take a certain gene pool to make you. And so he brought two parents together who had just the right chromosomes, the DNA structure, the 46 chromosomes that made you, you. And if your parents hadn't got together, you wouldn't be you. Now the point is this, God can take even mistakes, even things that were unplanned by human beings, even sins, and bring good out of them. You see, there are illegitimate parents, no doubt about that. But there are no illegitimate children. There are no illegitimate children. Because God planned you before your parents even ever thought of each other. Even in a rape, God wanted you to be born. He wanted you to be born. That's why abortion is wrong, because it short-circuits God's plan. Now, as we close today, I want to talk to two special groups here. The first group is those of you who were hurt by your parents. Maybe you were neglected. Maybe you never heard those words, "I love you." Maybe your parents were harsh and unbending, or maybe they were aloof and didn't really care anything about you. Or maybe you were even abused emotionally or physically. And if that's the case, I want to say to you today, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And God hurts with you. And the Bible is very clear that child abuse will be severely judged by God. It says, Jesus said, it's better for a man to have a millstone tied around his neck and dropped into the ocean than the judgment he's going to get for hurting a child. But what about you? What do you do with the commandment that says, honor your mother, and a commandment that says, honor your father? What does God expect? Does he expect you to just ignore it all, pretend it never happened, gloss over it, put on a mask and say, oh, it's great? And even though you were hurt deeply, seriously wounded in many ways, does God expect you to go down to Save-On and buy a little Hallmark card that's pretty and says, oh, thank you for giving me a wonderful life? No. God doesn't expect you to gloss over it, to wear a mask, or to deny the hurt in your life. God doesn't want you to fake it. In fact, he wants you to face it. He wants you to face it, to face the truth, to deal with the issues so you can get on with your life. The fact is, there are many parents that are unworthy of honor. They're abusive and they're hateful and they're hurting and they're unloving. But the fact is, how you relate to your parents affects every other relationship you have. Because when we go into a marriage, if you get married, or into a friendship, we always bring in emotional baggage with us. And the way you learn to relate to your mother and your father, you're going to take those same skills and predispositions and use them in your marriage. And that's why you've got marriage problems. Because your mate does the same thing. And some of you, if the truth are be known, are still hurting intensely from your past. And the only way to get past it is to deal with it. And what's happened is you're still holding in all this anger, this hurt, this bitterness, and you're probably venting it on your spouse and your children. And they're going, what's going on? It's because somehow it's triggering in your mind. That's just like mom. That's just like dad. So what do you do? Well, if you're still angry, you're still allowing your parents to control you. Even they may be dead, but you got to deal with that anger. You got to admit it. Now, this takes courage. It takes courage to make peace with your parents after all these years. To stop blaming, to stop running, and to face the issues. Now, this is scary, what I'm about to tell you. But the way you honor your parents is by being honest with them. Honest with them. And you kind of need to screw up your courage and make a phone call or sit down in a face-to-face meeting, and you need to say this: Mom, Dad, I want to honor you for the good things that you did, and the Bible tells me to do that. But I have a difficult time doing that because of the pain that I felt, and I still feel. And I need to deal with this and get to some resolution on it so I can honor you in the way that I want to. And you say something like, I'd like to forge a whole new relationship with you in a new way. And if there are wrongs to be made right, then you deal with it right there. And so do it while there's time. Now, if you can't do that because one, they've already passed on, or two, they're just not going to listen, then you need to deal with it with a friend. You need to talk to a Christian counselor and deal with it so you can get on with your life. That's the honorable thing to do for yourself, for your own kids, and for everybody else. And then there's another group of you I need to talk to as we close, and that is those of you who were abandoned by your parents. Maybe you don't even know who they are. Or maybe you were left. And God says you get special attention. Listen to this. The Bible says in Psalm 27, "My father and mother may abandon me, but the Lord will take care of me." God becomes a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless. My father and mother may abandon me, but the Lord will take care of me. And regardless of the hurt of your circumstance, there is a heavenly Father who loves you. And he's known everything about you, and he's seen every moment of your life from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb. And he loves you, and you matter to him. And he wants you in his family. He wants you in his family. And on the earth, that family is called the church. And we are to be a spiritual family to each other. We are to be brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers to each other. Like any family, it's imperfect, but we welcome you here for healing of those hurts in your life, because we do care. Let me close with this poem. You are who you are for a reason. You are part of an intricate plan. You are a precious, perfect, unique design called God's special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what he intended to make. The parents you had are the ones that he chose. No matter how you may feel, you were custom designed with that plan in mind. They bear the master's seal. Now, the trauma you faced that wasn't easy, and God wept that it hurt you so, but it was allowed to shape your heart so that into his likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. I want to invite you to ask God to help you today. Ask him right now in your heart to let go of hurt and bitterness and anger in the relationships in your family. Maybe with a parent. It may be with a husband or a wife, or a former husband or wife. Maybe with a child. Would you ask God to help you to forgive and let go for your own sake? Say, dear Jesus, help me begin to accept and appreciate and affirm the good part in my parents or in my spouse or in my children. And help me to forge a new positive relationship if possible. Pray, God, help me to be truthful and tactful when I speak. Help me to be gentle, not judgmental, with people I disagree with. Help me to be understanding, not demanding, with people when they serve me. Help me to respect and not reject others. And when people are rude to me, help me to respond like Jesus would, with love. Now, Jesus, the only way I could be like you is for you to put your love and your power and spirit in my life. So live through me this week. Help me to think like you, and help me to treat people the way you would. In your name I pray. Amen.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick today. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
I want to take a minute and tell you how important your support is to Daily Hope. Your generosity, when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping us take the message of Jesus Christ literally all around the world in the many places where there aren't missionaries or churches. These are called unreached tribes. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the refugee crisis around the world. Literally, millions of people have been displaced from their homes, particularly in the Middle East and in North Africa, because of civil wars and violence. One of those places is South Sudan, where over 200,000 people are living in refugee camps. Now, when people are under tension and in transition, they are more open to the gospel than at any other time. These people who are living in refugee camps right now need the hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, when you help Daily Hope Radio and Daily Hope Broadcast, we're not only broadcasting across America, but in places like South Sudan, where the station airs our program three times a day. And we are told that many, many people are coming to Christ in this war zone as they listen to these Daily Hope broadcasts. So thanks. Thanks to you. Now, let me just read you one testimony that we've received. Here's a note from a woman who's living in a refugee camp there in South Sudan. She said, my name is Joyce, and I'm from the Central Equatorial State in South Sudan. I lost all five of my children and my beloved husband. This is in the civil war that was going on there, as well as our family possessions during the recent fighting in the capital of Juba. She said, I had planned to commit suicide. There's somebody who needs hope. When I listened to Rick Warren's broadcast, the one called When You Feel Like Giving Up, I got inspired and I dropped the idea of taking my life that very night. And I'll continue to pray God to bless this great preacher. And thank you for giving me hope. Joyce, we're happy to do that. And I want to say it's because of the listeners who are giving faithfully every month to Daily Hope. Do you realize that when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping reach people like Joyce? She was going to commit suicide in a refugee camp. Now, isn't God amazing how when you just give what you can give, God takes it and he multiplies it, and we reach out to people that none of us could reach on our own. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for Joyce. And today I want you to pray for all of the people who are in refugee camps and pray that we'll be able to continue to broadcast on these stations, taking the good news of Jesus Christ and hope to people who need it the most desperately. It's your sacrificial giving. It's your prayer support that makes this possible. So thank you for whatever you can do. And God bless you, my friends.
If you're feeling like, yeah, I'd like to help support Pastor Rick and this ministry with a financial gift, I've got some great news to share with you today. We have generous friends of Daily Hope, and they've offered a $50,000 matching grant. Now, that means whatever amount you give to help share the hope of Jesus worldwide is going to be matched up to $50,000. But you only have until midnight on June 30th to make your gift go twice as far. So please go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.